I'm a younger son. True. Unfortunately, I'm now an only son because my brother actually died at quite a young age. But if you picture this, you can see there's this situation that arises. When my son was sort of, 17, 18, getting up to the time when he was going to go to university, he was full of it. I'm not stopping round here. I'm going to live in a city. I mean, not that he was going to get any of his inheritance early, but that was his attitude. I'm going to live in a city. It's dead round here. And I don't know whether any of you have had children in the same way, you know. We want the bright life. So I suppose with this younger son, there is a little bit of sympathy. You know, it's dead boring on a farm. Just think of how children were thinking. Many years ago, we went with some friends on a canal boat and we were thinking how we should do this again. We were discussing that we would go on. We did eventually, but we were discussing. And we were thinking when we would go. And I think we all said, when our children have got older, because all we get off them at this moment, I'm boring. So it sets that sort of picture of this son. But of course he goes to an extreme. When he says to his father, give me my inheritance now, which is a third of the property that he would inherit, what he's saying, father, I wish you were dead. It's sort of that drastic. I wish you were dead. Yet, as the story goes on, as Jesus tells his story, the father allows it, and he goes off. He goes off, he enjoys himself. And it's interesting, you know, you think you've got a lot of money, don't you? And of course, it's how quickly can it be frittered away? It doesn't sort of last very long, does it? You know, I'm a channel. I get money, and it just goes out. But riotous living, good times, doing what he wanted, no thought for tomorrow, till the money ran out. And as Jesus paints it, he paints this picture, doesn't he, of this famine. And the pods that the pigs were eating, which were indigestible for him, that he wanted to eat. But you know, at this point, Jesus pays a great compliment to the lad. He says, when he came to his senses, in the case of my son, he never did get into the city. He stopped at home, he's still with us. And he wouldn't go anywhere else now, but that's by the by. But he came to his senses and he remembered what the life was at home. He remembered that everybody had enough to eat, even the daily hired servants, the lowest members, even lower than the slaves that the father may have owned, because the slaves had certain rights. They were up to a point members of the family. His father had responsibilities to them, but he had no responsibility to the hired servant. Hire and fire at will. And so he makes this journey home. And you can imagine him working over in his mind, over and over again, what he's going to say. I always remember we got a gas bill which we paid, and we got it again. This is in the old days when there was a gas showrooms about. And so I'm going up the street and I'm muttering to myself, rehearsing what I was going to say. Unfortunately, in my case, the lady that was there was a very nice lady, and I was hoping I wasn't going to get her. So I never really got to let off steam. But you can just imagine him thinking what he was going to say, rehearsing it. Father, I have sinned against you, I have sinned against heaven, I'm no worthy longer worthy to go. You know, make me one of your hired servants, blah, 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 blah. Then something very strange happens as he's approaching home. And I'm wondering whether he'd slowed down, not that he'd be walking very fast in his condition, but whether he'd slowed down, getting more and more nervous. What was the meeting? Would his father reject him? Would the villagers come out and throw stones at him? Because by rights, the father could have held a funeral and said, this is dead to me. No longer my son. I've finished with him. I've washed my hands of him completely. And suddenly this old man, or possibly relatively old man, comes running to him, lifted his bare legs and running to him. And he gets out, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. Just bring the robe out, you know, put a ring on his fingers, sandal on his feet. Not all that. And this is something I want us to think about this morning. Bring the best robe out for him. The Jews said the righteousness of Abraham would cover them. But Abraham was an ordinary man. He was a sinner. He was a liar. Don't forget, he put Sarah into harem twice to claim that she wasn't, that he was his sister and he wasn't married to her. Because he was afraid for his life. He was an ordinary man. God counted him righteousness because of his obedience. But he was a man. And the Jews had their hopes in Abraham. The father said, put a robe on him. And if we look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 to 29, we read this. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you were baptized in Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male or female. You are all one in Christ. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to his promise. Put a robe on him. We've got that great clothing, the righteousness of our Saviour that covers him. When we come to God, when we come to Jesus, and we accept him, we say that prayer. I'm a sinner. I'm no longer. I was never worthy to be called your son. And we get that out. Then something miraculous happens. I read a book of a man who was an habitual criminal. And he was in prison. And it was a Methodist minister that went and he counselled him and counselled him. And it came to the point where the Lord confronted him. And he was confronting him for days. His past life, his villainy was before him and before him and before him and before him. Until he got to the state he hid under his bed. And he cried out in anguish. Look, God, just go away. I know I'm the most evil person there's been. I know there's nothing in me that he could do. And as soon as he managed to get that out, he looked up and he saw the sky blue. He saw the relief from all that had gone before. came out of prison and he went and he worked in various things. He became an Anglican lay reader. In fact, he had to go and see the bishop. And the bishop had his 15-minute slot and I think it lasted an hour, something like that. So everybody else was held up, and as he was going, the bishop said, "Can I give you my blessing?" And he blessed him, and Malcolm just turned around and said, "Can I bless you now, Bishop?" And the upstart of the end of that part of the narrative was he became a probation officer. And he served in the prison where he last served his last sentence. We become different. We're clothed with righteousness. The righteousness of Jesus. His blood covers us. The next thing, he gives him a ring. And this is very important, because it was like giving him powers of attorney on the estate. It was giving him authority. The father was giving him authority. Do you ever think that we have the authority of God behind us and with us? We are given authority. If you go back into the Old Testament, I've got the scripture references here, but you mostly know the story of Joseph. And what does Pharaoh give Joseph? He gives him a ring. And he says, nobody can lift the foot up without your permission, or breathe without your permission. Such was the authority that he was giving him. You know, the only person that could overrule him was Pharaoh himself. He had authority. And I don't know if you've read the book of Esther. When Mordecai, when everything's solved out, Xerxes gives Mordecai a ring. And it's a ring of authority. And in this story, the father gives the son a ring. We sometimes don't feel like we've got authority, do we? We feel weak and helpless. But we have the Lord behind us. And especially at this time when there's so much in the world, as we start to feel our way back to some form of normality. And then he gives him sandals, which showed he was part of the family. And I was thinking about this, and I was just thinking of the whole armour of God. Feet being shod with the preparation of the gospel. It's just a thought that ran through my mind. But we're part of the family. We're a child. We're a son. We're a daughter of God. We are brothers and sisters to Christ. Have you ever thought what that makes you? It makes you princes and princesses. Because we're adopted into the family. And if you know anything about Jewish adoption, then no matter what you've done in your past life, whatever's gone, it's gone. You can have committed the most heinous of crimes, but once you've been adopted into another family, you're a different person, because you're part of that family. Doesn't that say something? We're adopted. We're part of the family. The last part of our life is washed away, because God chooses not to remember it anymore. And then there's a party. The fatted calf. A nice piece of veal. If you enjoy veal. And the older brother. We can't leave this without thinking about him. Because as he comes in, he is there, ready to mourn, ready to be thinking of his inheritance. You know, will his inheritance be taken away from him? Will he have to share it? Well, yeah, we all have to share our inheritance, don't we? But he's safe. But yet, he still has this animosity towards his younger brother. Sometimes how do we feel when somebody comes into our fellowships? I know this morning that you've been very welcoming to me, a stranger. But can we not get, when somebody's being welcomed and so on, just feel a little bit sometimes left at one side? It's human feelings. But yet, we're still part of the same family. And just a final thought as I come to a conclusion of this. The older son never said, "Dad, can I have a calf or can I have a kid? Because I want to throw a party for my friends." You notice, you never gave me one. Did he ever ask? It's a thought, isn't it? You know, if my son wanted something when he was young, he would ask. So would my daughter. They would ask. They might get told, "No, you're not getting it," but they would ask. Or am I made of money? But this is it. So what I would like you to think of this morning is you take away this. That you're clothed with the righteousness of Christ. You are given authority. And you've got a good pair of shoes to go walking in his service. Amen.